Good morning, and welcome to Dr. Ng's Sunday Soul Connection. As always, we begin our time together with Naturally 7 and Let It Be. I'd like to applaud you for taking the next 45 minutes or so out of your bank holiday weekend to consciously come into communion as we link hearts and minds to deepen in our connection and our awareness of the source of all that is God in us as us. And always, I like to remind you that the spiritual work is not for the faint-hearted, for it requires that we delve deep down for introspection and understanding of what makes us tick, of what makes us behave and react and respond in the way that we do. And so spirituality isn't about theology or religion per se. It's about a deeper understanding and awareness psychologically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. I believe that as we examine and heal all of these aspects of our nature, we can be whole. And so as we continue examining the second level of personal consciousness, it is the level of relationship. And this second level of personal consciousness is all about safety. The need for the individual to feel safe and to feel loved and to feel protected. We need to feel this sense of belonging. And we get that when we look at our relationships from our childhood, where it started. We, as young children, recognized and knew that in order to feel loved and protected and accepted within the family group, we would have to conform and adhere to whatever the rules were. My mother was very fond of reminding me constantly that whilst I was under her roof, I would have to obey her rules. And learning to conform to the rules, whatever they were, still influences me at this time in my life. But it was necessary for children to learn these beliefs and these behaviors so that we could either maximize pleasure or minimize the pain. Growing up in a black family household, corporal punishment was the norm. So you obviously wanted to obey and conform to avoid being sent to get the strap. But in these relationships, as we learn and develop them from childhood, if we got what we needed in the sense of feeling loved and safe and protected, we could grow up into being a fairly well-adjusted adult. But if somehow in our subconscious there was a level of we didn't get the affection or the love that we needed as we were growing up, as an adult, no matter how perfect the relationship might be or relationships might be, we still feel it's not enough. We still feel as if we're lacking. We still feel as if somehow we're not good enough and we're not getting enough. There's always this need for feeling more loved, more wanted, more desired, more, more, more. And this stems from childhood. I don't think people realize just how much their adult behavior is shaped and formed from our childhood. And it's important that we understand that these levels of consciousness, the first three especially, when these levels of consciousness are felt or believed to be not met, it really stunts your growth in unfolding and in transforming to being a stronger, more embodied spiritual human being. Because you're constantly striving and needing and wanting more and more gratification to feel loved, to feel protected, to feel safe, to feel accepted. So the second level of personal consciousness, it's important that we recognize and understand that even if our current relationship, the partner or the person in it is giving their best, if we're feeling it's not good enough, it's take a deeper look and see what need you feel is not being met and how it perhaps may tie back in to where or what you felt you didn't get growing up. You see, ultimately I believe, and it's one of my favorite quotes from Marianne Williamson that I so resonate with, that relationships are God's laboratory for us to learn and to grow and evolve. I used to tell people that if you were on a desert island with food and shelter provided for you, you wouldn't know who you were, because it's the relationships and the interacting within the relationships that helps you understand, that helps you know yourself, that helps you grow and develop. And so it is our relationships that we need to recognize when we are being triggered or when our buttons are being pushed, to check back and see, why is it happening? Why is it that we feel this way? Why is it we're allowing ourselves to react or respond? I love the quote from Uriah Mountain Dreamer, who says, "Living a life of fulfillment that offers something of value to the world starts with radical self-knowledge, self-awareness, and self-acceptance. Our task is to be who we are at the deepest level of being." Who we are at the deepest level of being, are children of God. I came to the acceptance many decades ago. As I've shared before, my mother and I had a somewhat estranged relationship towards the end. Her controlling and her need to be emotionally and physically abusive was something that when I reached my 40s I could no longer accept or tolerate. And I came to the understanding and acceptance and belief that this relationship was one that I had chosen so that my soul could grow. And so I wasn't angry or bitter, but accepting, because I knew that I was a child of God, and that in God's eyes, I was loved and accepted just as I was. That there wasn't anything I needed to do or not do that would make God love me more or love me less. Growing up, there was always this constant need to keep complying and conforming and fulfilling whatever the rules and the next thing that my mother required or needed of me. But as I separated myself from that relationship and concentrated on my relationship with God, I quickly came to the opinion that God's opinion was all that mattered. That I wasn't going to be bothered or disturbed or distressed by other people's opinions, because they were not greater than God, and I already knew that I was God's beloved. And so it served me to ground me in this belief that my relationship with God was what I needed to focus and concentrate on. And that as I did so, my other human and earthly relationships would eventually heal themselves. I want to share some things from Marianne Williamson, because she says it so eloquently, and I'm one that doesn't believe in reinventing the wheel. And she says this: relationships are assignments. They are a part of a vast plan for our enlightenment. The Holy Spirit's blueprint by which each individual soul is led to greater awareness and expanded love. Relationships are the Holy Spirit's laboratories in which He brings together people who have the maximal opportunity for mutual growth. He appraises who can learn most from whom at any given time, and then assigns them to each other. Like a giant universal computer, He knows exactly what combination of energies and exactly what context would do the most to further God's plan for salvation. No meetings are accidental. Those who are to meet will meet, because together they have the potential for a holy relationship. I think she says it so fabulously, because in the relationships that I've had in the past with various friends whom I felt that we would go on to old age and pushing each other around in our bath chairs, failed to happen. And although there was hurt and pain and distress at the time, because I so believed that every relationship was there to teach me something, whether it was there to bring out forgiveness or patience or acceptance or forbearance, it brought me something that helped me grow as an individual. Our sacred texts, I want to share a few. The first is from 1 Corinthians 3:22. Whether Paul or Apollos or Peter or the world or life and death or the present and the future, everything belongs to you. Psalm 24:1. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. 1 John 4:4. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. And finally, 1 John 3:1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. See, those sacred texts, a great reminder that we are all God's, and we are all of God, and that we all come from God, that we are His beloved. People keep saying that it was Jesus who was the one and only child of God, the Son of God, but that's not the truth. Jesus told us that we were joint heirs in Christ, in the Spirit of God that is in us as us. My story that I want to share is from The Science of Mind. It's entitled A Lesson in Love by Reverend Dr. Andretti Earle, who is the founding spiritual leader of Heart and Soul Light in Oakland, California. She quotes, "Understanding his teaching, every relationship becomes a lesson in love." That's from A Course in Miracles. And then she writes, "Many of us have experienced the trauma of the crash and burn of a close relationship. My mastermind groups recently took a deep dive into how we perceive and express in our relationships the doubts, fears, and judgments we hold. We acknowledge that to a person, we have tripped, fallen, assumed a fetal position, and sometimes did not rise for a long while. We abdicated our spiritual practices, made some relationships special, and declared ourselves justified in our judgments. Stuck in a bleak sense of our circumstances, we focused on being right instead of seeking healing and reconciliation and welcoming happiness. We acknowledge that if we continue to perceive our relationships through an adversarial filter and lean towards separation, oneness, and connection would continue to evade us. We also owned our collective frustration, resistance, and reluctance to love ourselves and forgive our past behavior. Acquiescing to separation left us unhappy and suffering. Someone declared, there has to be another way. We all agreed and immediately invoked A Course in Miracles. We began studying ACIM together. That step helped us be aware of and shift our circular thinking, up-leveling our thinking from fear to faith. We are releasing the past and staying attentive to the present, and our circumstances are morphing. We are beginning to see our relationships and our lives differently. This shared experience has been a huge blessing to me. I am more open to seeing divine spirit in and as me. I am assigning new meaning to challenging relationships and my past experiences. I have gained clarity about how I get triggered, how to harness that energy, and how to own my emotions. I'm truly grateful for the safety of our mastermind group because it helped me reveal and acknowledge that the wounds I thought were healed and the work I thought I had finished were not yet complete. Our relationship upsets provide the perfect motivation for us all to shift, pivot, and heal. I'm now willing to embrace all of this as a lesson in love and call forth healing. I was so touched by that, and what jumped at me was her phrase, shift, pivot, and heal. You see, for me, that shift is an invitation to stop looking outside at others and start looking inwardly at ourselves. The pivot is to know that you are God's, as our sacred text reminded us, and focus on cultivating that relationship above all others. And to heal is to grow from all of our past experiences, all of the dramas and all of the traumas that we've had in relationships, to bless them, to forgive them, to learn and grow from them and heal from them. I want to share a testimony that our Sunday Solo from Costa Rica shared with me yesterday. I shared with you last week how her sister, her home caught fire, and how God had saved her and her little service dog from being there. And so my friend was driving down. She flew to Texas where she had to conclude some affairs, and then collecting her other sister, and then the two of them and her husband were going to drive from Texas down to Alabama. It was an 18-hour drive. And she left a message on my phone to say that they were setting out. And I sent her a text to say, may the angels watch over and keep you and protect you so that you can arrive safely and spend this time together. And you see, when God uses you, you never know what, when God puts something for you to do and you do it immediately, what that effect might be. And so she shared that, she said she has to tell me this. In the 27 years she'd been married, her husband always did the driving. But almost 3 hours out, he said he had to stop. He felt so tired that he knew he couldn't continue, it would be dangerous. And they were experiencing extremely bad weather, the states apparently. That side had really serious bad weather. It was pitch black. The rain was coming down in sheets that you could barely see. And when he announced that he could no longer drive and that she would have to take over, her immediate reaction was fear. Fear of driving through the unknown states, and they were just, I think, entering into Mississippi, which I'm sure many of you are aware that down south it's not a great state to drive through when you're a person of color. And her sister had already made it clear she would not be driving. And so she said she prayed, asked God to drive through her, and they set off. But she was so tense and fearful, she asked the sister to change the music and find some music that they could drive to that would uplift them. And she said about 2 hours into the drive, when she was constantly wrestling with the fear, she said to her sister, what is that song? The one about Jesus, take the wheel. And the sister said, yeah, that is the song, Jesus, take the wheel. And she said, no sooner had she said that this big 40-foot lorry drove past them with the sign Jesus emblazoned across its side, and all three of them saw it at the same time. And she knew immediately that everything was okay. And as I listened to the message, tears flowed, because I am always, always, always in awe of how God moves in our lives. You see, she shifted from the fear of thinking that she was the one driving, thinking that she was the one that had to do it, and pivoted into awareness that God in her would be the driver, and allow God to heal the despair and the fear and the trepidation of driving in these awful weather conditions through interstates that were less than friendly. You see, irrespective of our personal relationship that we had growing up and the level of development of our consciousness, as we know who we are and whose we are, we can shift, pivot, and heal. The prose that I want to share with you today, again, is from Marianne Williamson. It says, in order to ensure our progress towards the goal of enlightenment, the Holy Spirit has a highly individualized curriculum for everyone. Every encounter, every circumstance can be used by him for his purpose. He translates between our perfect cosmic self and our worldly insanity. He enters into the illusion and leads us beyond it. He uses love to create more love, and he responds to fear as a call for love. Everyone is on a spiritual path. Most people just don't know it. To become a miracle worker means to take part in a spiritual underground that is revitalizing the world, participating in a revolution of the world's values at the deepest possible level. We're all assigned a piece of the garden, a corner of the universe that is ours to transform. Our corner of the universe is our own life, our relationships, our homes, our work, our current circumstances, exactly as they are. Every situation we find ourselves in is an opportunity, perfectly planned by the Holy Spirit, to teach love instead of fear. Relationships are the Holy Spirit's laboratories, in which he brings together people who have the maximal opportunity for mutual growth. My beloved, as we shift, pivot, and heal, we can transform whatever the personal relationships that we had growing up to one as an adult, where we fully surrender to God and allow God to take the wheel. Our science of mind reading, the first quote is from Eckhart Tolle. The most important and second most important relationship, that's the title of it. Yeah, I combined two to do this science of mind reading. Eckhart Tolle says, you are not separate from the whole. You are one with the sun, the earth, the air. You don't have a life. You are life. A second quote from Ernest Holmes, The Anatomy of Healing Prayer. Spiritual wisdom starts the day that we know from now on every discovery is either a discovery of the self or related to the self in the cosmic mind. The self must raise the self by the self. The author writes, as humans, we are relational beings. Our primary relationship is with spirit or God. The nature of this relationship is immutable, but our understanding of it depends on our belief. We cannot change this most primal of all relationships, but we can embrace it, ignore it, or deny it. The notion of being one with spirit is daunting, especially when we have been led to believe that we are less than we truly are. Much of our life is a journey towards discovering and expanding this relationship. It is only when we are comfortable with it and live from it that we can have peace in our lives. This peace comes from the realization of the power we are and have access to. When we realize our power, fear is diminished. We can live in peace. Every other relationship is built on the nature of our relationship with spirit. When relationship with spirit is sound, and our relationship with self is solid, we are ready to be of value to others and to see others in their own right. When we are aware of our connection with spirit, we can accept ourselves as worthy, empowered, and capable. A strong sense of self-love is essential if we are to be our best selves and have our loving relationships with others. Indeed, our relationship with self determines whether we remain a child of God or mature into an adult of God. The child is in a constant receivership, while the adult is capable of stewardship. The child is needy for attention, while the adult is capable of true compassion. My beloveds, if you haven't already, I invite you to close your eyes as we go within for our meditation and prayers this morning. As always, I like to remind you of the words of Job, who said, it is the Spirit of God that has made me. It is the breath of the Almighty that gives me life. So as we take the next three deep breaths in, let us be cognizant that we are breathing in the breath of life itself. Inhale. Lower the diaphragm, extend the stomach. And breathe in the life-giving, energizing, renewing, restorative breath of God. Hold. Gently, slowly release. Inhale. Hold. The third and final time, inhale. Hold. Gently, slowly. Now affirm. I rejoice in the knowledge that we are all one. The divine is the creator and the composition of all that is, all that is not, and all that will ever be. I relish in the truth that all of life is naturally harmonious. Harmony is the natural state of existence for all. I acknowledge this truth about me and everyone I interact with. This one harmonious, powerful and infinite presence is everywhere, dwelling in everyone, including me. Recognizing the truth of this oneness with all, I feel unbridled love pulsating throughout my body. I see unbridled love and wholeness in everyone around me, in all of creation. I easily experience a unified wholeness within myself and with everyone I interact with. I know I am one with the spiritual qualities of love, joy, beauty, and understanding. I am whole and complete just as I am, and so is everyone I meet. Realizing the truth and power in these statements, I breathe a deep and grateful breath, filled with love, power, and joy. I claim that all relationships I have with myself and others are filled with harmony and acceptance. Our interactions are filled with a divine acknowledgement of wholeness. For while we are all united, we are also all unique. Individual expressions of the divine. We are needed. Also all unique individual expressions of divine. We are needed loved and accepted just as we are. How wonderful it is to be in a loving, peaceful relationship with all of life. I am blessed to give and receive love so effortlessly. I give thanks for the ease and joy of knowing balance in all my relationships. I steep myself in gratitude, recognizing the love, acceptance, and joy in others. I graciously accept and give thanks for the experience of meaningful relationships with myself and others. I affirm and release these words of perfect activity to the universal law, knowing without a shadow of a doubt that these words are true, complete, and instantly made manifest. And so it is. That was by Kelly Robbins. I'd like to invite you to take a deep breath as we enter into our circle of prayer. I'd also like to invite you to include in your heart at this moment one of our beloved members who was taken into hospital last night unexpectedly. Our teacher said that where two or three are gathered touching on something, it shall be done. So as we take a moment to hold her specifically in our hearts and to know that right where she is, the omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient power of God is there. That the healing, that recovery, that the release from the hospital is immediate. For we know that God does not delay in what God has to do. We know that God's Spirit is right where she is, flowing in and through her to heal, to renew, to restore, to replenish. So we give God thanks, we give God praise for her recovery and her release, knowing that as we send forth these words, it shall not return unto us void, but accomplish wherein they have been sent. Mother, Father, God, as we consciously come into communion with you this morning, deepening into our connection with you, understanding that our personal relationship with you as we grow and develop it touches our relationship with all who we encounter, irrespective of whatever our physical and personal relationships were growing up. As we heal whatever happened in our past through knowing our relationship with you, we can shift, pivot, and heal any situation, any condition, any circumstance. For we are yours. We belong to you. And as we understand that relationships are your laboratories for us to grow and inform ourselves and evolve, let us learn the lessons that each relationship brings. Let us not feel victimized or hard done by, or sad or bereaved when they come to an end. For all relationships end eventually as we return back to you, source of all that is. Let us learn from our relationships and grow. And let us bring to each of every one of our relationships all that you have implanted in us, which is love. Let us be love. Let us show love. Let us express love. Let us not withhold it for any petty slights or judgments or misunderstandings. let us continue to grow in each of our relationships and express more of your spirit, more of your kindness, more of your love, more of your acceptance, more of your forgiveness in each and every one of them. Mother, Father, God, as we look to our teacher, our way sharer, Jesus, who is the absolute personification of love and acceptance of all, of forgiveness of all, of patience with all. Let us embody his traits, his example, and try harder every day to be more like. As always, beloved Mother, Father, God, we hold our world in this circle of prayer for everything that is happening across the globe. We surrender it now to you. We know as truth students that we are to take our attention off of that which we don't want and focus it on what we do want. So at this moment, we are focusing on a world that works for everyone, a world that is fair, just, and equitable, a world of acceptance, kindness, and oneness, where governments look after their people, and greed is not the order of the day. Where we behold each and every one, irrespective of color or race or culture or class or gender orientation, as expressions of the one life, the one presence, the one power. Mother, Father, God, for anything I have failed to ask, I know you will not fail to bless. And so for your infinite grace, your endless blessings, your eternal mercies, we are ever, ever grateful. And so it is. And so it is. And so it is. Take a deep breath in as I mute the phones for our affirmations and Buddhist reflections. Mind affirmation, if you repeat after me. I know I am one with spirit.
I am one with spirit.
At all times. In all ways. I accept this. As the essential relationship of my life. And receive its blessings. I am worthy of good. My nature is to be open to good. And to express in life
the adult of God.
I am intelligent. Empowered and loving. Our Buddhist reflection: If anyone has hurt or harmed me. Knowingly or unknowingly, in thought, word, or deed, I freely forgive them and I ask forgiveness. If I have hurt or harmed anyone, Knowingly or unknowingly, in thought, word, or deed. I forgive the past and close the door.
I forgive all and resentment is dissolved.
I forgive myself and I am at peace.
I forgive myself and I am at peace.
I accept myself and I am free.
I accept myself and I am free.
May I feel protected and safe.
May I feel protected and safe.
Contented and at peace.
Contented and at peace.
May my physical body provide me with strength.
May my physical body provide me with strength.
May my life unfold smoothly and with ease.
May my life unfold smoothly and with ease.
May I be happy.
May I be happy.
May I be peaceful.
May I be peaceful.
May I be free.
May I be free.
May my friends be happy.
May my friends be happy.
May they be peaceful.
May they be peaceful.
May they be free.
May they be free.
May those that challenge me be happy.
May those that challenge me be happy.
May they be peaceful.
May they be peaceful.
May they be free.
May they be free.
May all beings be happy.
May all beings be happy.
May they be peaceful.
May they be peaceful.
May they be free.
May they be free.
Our prayer of intention, I am the light of God within and without.
I am the light of God within and without.
Radiating brightly. I am the love of God within and without.
I am the love of God within and without.
Expressing unconditionally. I am the power of God within and without.
I am the power of God within and without.
Manifesting exuberantly. I am the presence of God within and without.
I am the presence of God within and without.
Eternal and unceasingly. Our rumination for this week, Rumi says, love is a river, drink from it. Our benediction, as we continue with the various versions of the Lord's Prayer, this is from the Message. Our Father in heaven, reveal who you are, set the world right, do what's best as above, so below. Keep us alive with 3 square meals. Keep us forgiven within you and forgiving others. Keep us safe from ourselves and the devil. You're in charge. You can do anything you want. You're a blazing beauty. Yes, yes, yes. And so, my beloved, as we come to the end of our Sunday Soul, this is one of my favorite songs. It's from King and Country and Jordan Sparks. It's entitled, Love Me As I Am. No, Love Me Like I Am. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I can breathe a little self-control.
Country and Jordan Sparks, lovely as I am. Beloved, I wish you a very blessed and happy bank holiday, the first of three this month. Until next Sunday for Dr. Ng's Sunday Soul Connection. Peace and blessings.